It's time to raise a little hell. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I'm James.
And I'm Autumn. And I'm not zipping around.
And today, little ghoulies, we are on our G movie. G for the Gate.
Ooh, what I consider a children's classic.
Yeah, okay. So I think that the question that we will find the answer to by the end of this episode is this a children's movie?
Right.
That's going to be a hard one. But this, I feel like we're doing like a thesis for a college course.
Here. Right, right.
and those that may not be familiar with the movie, they'll maybe figure it out along the way as well. Mm-hmm. But on the surface, it seems like it's dangerously close to just being an 80s kids horror film.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got the two lead characters are children.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
And I will say, this movie seems a little whimsical compared to a lot of horror, but we'll just have to see if it's a kids movie or not.
Yep, this 1987 classic running at an hour and 25 minutes. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tight as far as all things considered goes.
Yeah, that's the perfect time for a horror movie, an hour 25.
Yeah, that's about all you need.
Give or take. Hour 35 most.
Yeah, yeah. This did not need to be like a 2.5 hour long film.
Mm-mm. But if they remake it, it probably will be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if A24 gets their grubby little hands on it.
Now I would like a A24 version of The Gate. I'm not going to lie.
It'll end up being something about like it's all... an allegory for child abuse or something.
I think they can do a whimsy.
Do you think they can do a whimsy?
Look at Beau is Afraid. How whimsical of a movie is
that? Yeah, it's practically Dr. Seuss. You're right. I stand corrected.
Marcel, the shell.
Okay.
Whimsical.
That is chock full of whimsy. All right, fair enough. Not horror, though. We need a whimsical horror movie.
Well, see, A24, you listening?
Yeah, let's get together. Let's make a whimsical Gate remake. All right, let's go ahead and dig in because there's a lot to cover with it. The movie opens with spooky music and your title already right out of the gate. See what I did there?
Yeah, and just to kind of gloss over this first scene, this is a good opening for a children's horror movie.
Yes.
It's got just the right amount of tension.
Yeah.
That build.
I think that anybody that's a fan of Goosebumps or Are You Afraid of the Dark or any other Canadian kids horror, if you wanted to kind of get an idea of where probably some inspiration for how that stuff functions, I say look no further than the opening of The Gate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just missing the bark, 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 bark.
right.
The cover of the Goosebumps song from The Swedish Chef.
Yes. It kind of plays on that childhood fear of getting home and nobody's there. Where is everybody? What's going on?
Yeah.
Nobody told me nobody was going to be here. And as our main character, Glenn, is going through the house looking for people, it looks like everyone's just up and left.
Yeah, they got
just
raptured.
Disappeared. Yeah, exactly. So as a kid, when you're watching this, you're like, oh my gosh, it's already getting scary. What's going to happen? Oh my gosh.
And I mean, like, as he goes through the house, he eventually goes to the backyard because he hears a baby doll, mm-hmm. you know, crying.
Wee, wee,
and so he goes up into the treehouse and crash, kaboom, lightning strikes. And the treehouse and the tree itself fall to the ground.
Yes. But don't worry about that. It was all just a dream.
Oh, a classic fake out.
But the tree did actually fall.
Yes.
Mm. Now, what I've always been curious about, or at least confused about with this movie, mm-hmm. is did the tree fall that night as he was sleeping and that's why he had the dream? Or was this a traumatic experience he was reliving through dream, and that now that we see that it actually happened, like, what's the story here?
See, I think traumatic accident.
Do you think traumatic accident? Yeah.
And solely... because of the fact there's already men chopping up the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as we've learned through some real life things, God knows when a limb or a tree falls, it doesn't get chopped up in just a day.
Yeah, you're right. It those men would not already be there chopping up that tree.
It would be at least a week. If not a month. Yes. So that, I think, is kind of what gives us that little inclination that I think a lot of Glenn's fears, as you'll see throughout the movie, are mm-hmm. based in reality. As with most kids, it's his imagination running away with him. Mm-hmm. So there may have been a windstorm or something that knocked the tree over.
Right.
He may or may not have been inside the treehouse when it happened. I bet he just saw it, and then the nightmare is him going, oh, God, what if?
Yeah, what if?
What if I had? And then that's that. And I think that, you know, with how he reacts to so many other things throughout the film, that's your core, mm-hmm. is that there's always a little bit of reality, and then his child imagination blows it up into this mm-hmm. big, crazy thing.
That's why I love this movie, though, because it's such realistic childhood fear stuff. Because, I mean, Glenn, throughout the movie, he gets scared of little things here and mm-hmm. there, and it's completely rational.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, because, like, shadowy figures. That's just a branch, you know, on the window, or moths in the case of this movie.
Which I also said while we were watching this, because most of the men that I know mm-hmm. are flippin' afraid of moths.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that.
I'm wondering if this is the catalyst of that fear for this generation.
Yes, it's generational fear.
Of moths, yeah, yes.
Like, I would like to do a survey of all the guys that are millennials.
Yeah, that are afraid of
that
moths.
Are afraid of moths. Did they see the gate as kids?
Right.
Because I saw the gate as kids. And I gotta say, I'm not a big fan of moths.
Yeah, and then when we figure it out, we'll be like, well, tell your therapist that you saw the gate.
You're welcome. They'll save you at least a few sessions to get to the bottom of that.
Well, let's get back to the story. Mm-hmm. So Glenn goes out and kind of watches the men do their work. Yeah. And as they're pulling the tree up by its roots, a geode falls out.
Oh, lucky bastard.
I know, and it's a perfectly round, perfectly sized geode.
Yeah.
Ugh, stupid kid getting all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Glenn's buddy Terry also shows up, and, you know, Terry, do you want to discuss Terry for a moment?
Yeah, let's go ahead and pull apart Terry for a second. So Glenn's friend Terry is, at first glance, is just your typical 80s dweeb mm-hmm. with his glasses and shit.
Glasses, he's scrawny, yeah. He's got that, like, dirty blonde hair, a few freckles, you know. But mm-hmm. he's wearing a battle vest with all these, like, metal bands on it and stuff and jeans. And it's like, what's the story with this kid?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I will say, growing up, I really, like, I loved Terry because I kind of identified with him in that way, because he was nerdy kid but into all this edgy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think as you find, as, you know, like, especially our generation, most of the edgy kids were the nerds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, it was that counterculture.
Yeah.
Just go against the grain in every possible way.
Yeah.
Terry's super excited about the first geode they found.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, well, maybe we'll strike lightning twice.
Yeah, but I mean, we can make a lot of money off this geode. Mm-hmm. And as he's kind of stomping around the yard, his foot falls into a hole and all this sulfurous smoke comes out.
Gas leak.
Gas leak.
Yeah, this I'm just telling you, like this, I think that a whole lot of the problems with this movie is actually the fact that a gas line was busted.
Hmm.
You know, because like whenever anything weird happens, the smoke happens. Mm-hmm. But it's like they do something that triggers the smoke and then it gets weird from that point on.
So you're saying this whole thing is possibly just a gas leak hallucination?
These kids are dying on the backyard. Like they're just they're all both like, yeah, just lying there hallucinating as the gas is taking them.
Oh. Well, I mean, hey, at least Harry gets to go back and forth between his house and this house.
Yeah.
So he's not as
Yeah, he
poisoned.
Doesn't, well, yeah, he doesn't hallucinate nearly as much as Glenn does.
You're
Glenn's
right.
Just over there huffing that hole.
Oh, my God. So that's what they were doing in the 80s, huh? They were just huffing holes.
You know, I think I've heard that somewhere. While Terry and Glenn are investigating the hole, Terry comes across another giant-ass geode. Lucky bastard again.
God.
Golly. Ugh. We need a tree to fall in our backyard, I'm telling you. And then also amongst all this, Glenn gets this nasty splinter and, you know, pulls a little bit of... Well, the effect for this, by the way, is really good.
Yeah.
All the special effects in this movie, they knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they spend a lot of time and effort in the special effect department. And we'll get a little bit into that later on, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of really good stuff in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I don't even know who worked on this film,
I have no
to be
idea.
Honest, because
yeah.
Their work is awesome.
Yeah. Glenn's sister, Al, is seen throwing some stuff out, and Glenn comes over and is upset because she's getting rid of a lot of her old stuff, and amongst mm-hmm. that is one of the rockets that her and Glenn were going to be playing with. We in this moment learn that Glenn is a huge rocket enthusiast,
mm-hmm.
though maybe with some reckless abandon because the fact that he has singed the house.
Yeah. Yeah, his sister was supposed to play with this rocket with him because, like, he needs supervision. He's not allowed to play with the rockets anymore after that incident.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I don't care. I'm a teenager and I'm too old for this and I'm going to the mall.
Yeah, yeah. Al's awful friends show up. They exchange some terrible words with Glenn and Terry and then they promptly leave. This is kind of what happens throughout the movie. And maybe we can utilize this as an opportunity to do some podcastmagoria magic and not dwell too much on the awful friends. Just basically, if we mention that the awful friends are there, just assume that they said there was this awful back and forth between Terry, Glenn, and those friends.
Yeah, and
specifically those sisters.
The sisters.
Go, oh, those sisters.
More twins for us to hate.
Jeez,
between
those twins from The Witch, Patriot from Cooties, and these little turds. Good grief.
I feel like we can kind of keep the friends out of the story.
Yeah.
Because they have no, like,
they don't
connection.
Really matter.
Like, yeah, there's not really... Like, there's one part, but that's not even, like, super important either.
No, I think that...
It's just for one plot device.
Yeah, and I think, like, the sisters are kind of a red herring.
Yeah.
And I'll get to the, like, because there's some rules that we get introduced to here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they were supposed to possibly be part of that.
So, Glenn and Terry are left to their own devices, and Terry's catching moths in a jar, saying... Man, I wonder how long it's going to take them to suffocate.
Yeah.
Glenn's just like, you're a psycho.
Yes.
Because he is. Starts with bugs, guys.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it's going to be larger mammals like cats or even dogs. And then, well, human sacrifice is after that. So later on, it's dinner time with the parents, and Al is trying to convince the parents that, hey, they don't need a babysitter, that she can watch her and Glenn because they're about to be out of town. And they're like, I don't know.
And she's like, I'm turning 16 next week. Come on.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Glenn is like 8 going on to 30.
Yeah. I'm saying Glenn would be just fine by himself. Yeah. He can babysit himself because he's a little man.
Yeah. Yeah. Throughout the entire film, he tends to be the grounded one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's always trying to be responsible.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, he doesn't want to take advantage of like parents being out of town. He doesn't listen to his psychopath friend Terry for most of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
He's a good kid.
Yeah. He's genuinely a good kid, which is rare for these films. Yeah.
He's smart.
Yeah.
He's sweet.
Loves rockets. Enthusiast for geodes, apparently.
He seems very smart.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. If anything, they need a babysitter for Al.
Yeah.
The dad is pretty pissed off with Glenn because I guess like the workers had covered up the hole. And then, of course, Terry and Glenn dug it up to get them damn geodes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, well, you're grounded, mister. And he's just like, but he's like, no, buts about that. You're going to cover that hole back up. Or so help me.
Yeah, he was really angry about the hole, which
plays
into James's theory of the gas leak.
He's worried about his son's life from the gas leak. And then Glenn and Terry have to come along and huff that hole.
That night, Glenn's kind of talking to his dad about, oh, well, I'm scared about the hole. I'm scared about this and that.
Yeah.
And Terry had said some kind of scary things to him as well, like the dead man living in their walls.
Oh,
that
this old fucking, you know, urban legend that this man died while building the house or some shit.
Yeah. And his dad's just like, don't listen to Terry. You know his mom just died. He's going to say a lot of morbid, weird shit.
Yeah, just don't listen to him. That kid's messed up in the brain.
He's only, like, kind of messed up.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it always starts as kind of.
Like, he seems pretty sweet otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. He's just going through some shit.
He's going through some stuff. He's trying to find himself.
Yeah.
The moth jar did get left with Glenn, and he falls asleep as he watches the last moth die.
Yeah. Oh, spooky.
Hmm. Why didn't he let the moths out if he was worried about them?
Right. Well, you know.
So the next day, the parents leave, and, you know, it's the classic, we've got all the numbers on the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, make sure the house stays clean and no parties. Oh.
Cut to party.
Immediately.
Terry and Glenn are hanging out in Glenn's room while all the awful friends are partying downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're fiddling with the giant geode. Terry's having a terrible time trying to crack it open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think that he would be the one that would be able to crack it open.
He's got all that pent-up rage.
Exactly. But he just keeps working and working and working at it while they're talking. And eventually, Terry's just like, let's just go down to the party. Nobody's even going to notice that we're there. Mm-hmm. Let's go hang out. Let's go have some fun. And Glenn's like, no. And immediately breaks the geode.
Yeah. There you go. Smoke billows out of the geode, and some mystic writing appears on the magic slate next to the geode. Oh, of course, when any time magic happens and mysterious words appear, you must read them out loud.
Of course.
That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And so they look at it. They say the Akko, Buto, Alto, Iro, Ito.
Something like that. Yeah.
I'm like Ash over here with this. Like, right. I said,
and then you said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Close enough. I said the damn words.
This is probably one of my favorite scenes, though, of the entire movie, just because of the way it's shot, from the geode breaking
The
pink light, like filling the room and all that, to them finding the magic slate and just like all the little, like, I don't know if it's footprints or handprints or what, but there's all sorts of little things
scrabbles
around the words, and it's just cute.
Yeah.
I think it's cute.
This moment, and I would say almost like the entire film, is very Spielberg-esque.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's got a big Spielberg feel.
Like,
they were obviously inspired.
They finally sneak down to the party, And as most teenage parties go, things start to die down and we get to the obligatory ghost story time.
Mm-hmm.
And the nerdy girl that's in the group, who I don't think is part of the core group because we don't ever see her again.
Yeah, no, there was a few stragglers here, but there were even more people at the party. Yeah. But this is, you know, you have tiers of friend group.
Yeah.
There's like the third tier where it's a ton of people. The middle tier where it's like, oh, I would hang out with these people. And then you got your core people.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the middle tier people.
Yeah, yeah. So nerdy girl's just like, oh, well, I got an idea. Let's jack this up to 11, make it real scary. Let's try to do some witchcraft.
At a teenage party?
I know it. I know. You know, like, it's satanic panic is real, kids. She decides that they're going to try to do a levitation spell. They're basically doing the lie as a feather, stiff as a board, but they're amateurs. So
I was going to say they do light as a feather, stiff as a board, but they don't do it correctly.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like you're amateurs. So don't start with the heftiest guy in the room. Start with a little squirt.
Yeah.
You know, hanging out in the back behind the couch, eating Cheetos off the floor. So they grab a hold of Glenn. That makes it sound like they violently. He was willing-ish.
He was like, okay.
Okay. They start doing the magic words, and Glenn starts to float up. And now they're not actually holding him.
Yeah,
he's just actually levitating.
Yeah, he just floats and floats and floats and floats.
Oh.
Hitting a light.
Yep. Busting his ass, and then scamps out.
Yeah, he starts crying, and everybody's making fun of him and stuff. And I'm like, he's crying. He actually legit got hurt just now.
And I would like to take this moment to point out the acting skills of the actor that played Glenn, who went on to do a lot of other stuff. But he does such a phenomenal job whenever he's playing upset.
Yeah.
And this scene alone, I was just like, Jesus, did they actually just like toss him off of a ladder or something?
Because right.
He looks like he's actually crying.
They shook him around.
They shook him
around. You better cry.
Shot him with a BB gun or something. Something to make him upset because he looks proper upset.
Yeah. But I will say Terry and Al, like they also do a really good job with their acting.
Yeah.
They just picked some really good kids.
Yeah. Which is rare, especially for maybe not the biggest studio film.
Yeah.
You know, like we got some good, like usually this kind of tier horror film, the kid actors are crap.
Yeah.
And
they
got good ones in this round. They didn't even need to hire one of the Coreys.
Right.
Terry and Al go upstairs to check on Glenn, and he's just like freaked out and is telling Al, we need to call mom and dad because I broke that light and I'm upset. And she's just like, no, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Stop being a little weenie. I'll tell you what, would it make you feel better if Terry stayed the night? Now, I'm going to say, probably not. Terry's a daytime friend. Everyone's had that friend that's kind of annoying. And you know is maybe a little toxic.
Yeah, so, can't be at the house after 6 p.m.
Yeah,
no.
Because like, you know, he's like while you're asleep, he's going through everybody's drawers or something. Lo and behold, later on that night, while everyone's asleep, Terry gets up. Oh, that little, he's up to something. He's just having a potty break. But along the way, he ends up seeing the ghost of his mom. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I guess that's not on Terry.
Yeah.
That's not his fault that he got haunted by his mom.
I honestly thought that he was going to be sleeping.
Yeah.
It was going to be a dream type thing.
Yeah.
But no, it quickly turns horrible.
Yes, yes.
And Glenn's already like in his room scared of all the shadows.
Yeah.
And the moths are swarming.
The moths are back.
The bug zapper in the backyard is just going crazy.
Yeah, the fourth character of the movie.
Yes, the bug zapper. Anytime I see a bug zapper or hear one or anything, this movie immediately comes to my mind because it is such a big part of it some reason.
The bug zapper to this movie is kind of like New York is to a Woody Allen film.
That's right,
Al and Glenn come out, and while Terry is like holding his ghost mom, however, he's not holding his ghost mom. He's actually holding Angus, the dead dog. He wasn't dead previously.
Yeah, he wasn't dead previously, and we haven't mentioned him until now because, like, he shows up like one time before?
Yeah,
like,
and Terry's like, oh, your old dog's gonna die.
Yeah, I kind of forgot they had a dog until this moment.
He's for real. And so, yeah, then he's just like, oh, jeepers, I have a dead dog in my hands. And Glenn and Al are just like, oh, Jesus, we have a dead dog. And Glenn's absolutely heartbroken. Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
With everything we know about Terry up to this moment.
Yep. Most movies would immediately be like,
what'd you do to our dog?
Yeah, you killed our dog. Why'd you do this?
Yeah. No one questions this.
No.
Even though he is a little bit of a sadistic, weird kid.
And it was a really old dog.
He already alluded to the fact. I mean, if this was a Columbo episode,
leads to Terry.
Yeah, this kid's up to something here. You know, I got one more question, Terry. You know, my wife loves rock and roll bands, too. And, and she had said something to me the morning before I left the house, just as I was sipping my last cup of coffee.
Oh, God.
The next morning, Terry leaves, and we get to see...
We get to see a little bit of a soft side.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm so sorry about your dog.
Yeah. Sorry
about
the dog, bro.
Seems very genuine.
Yeah, he is. He is actually bummed out about it. And then we get to see what Terry's life is like outside of being at Glenn's house.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks.
Yeah, he's a latchkey kid. Mm-hmm. Dad ain't home. Mom's definitely not home.
Well, I mean, she might be coming home soon. As long as he keeps killing dogs, I think that's what feeds the beast.
There's a lot of back and forth here, so we will do some Podcastmagoria magic, so don't kill us if it's out of order.
Yeah.
But Terry goes up to his room and blasts his metal music as loud as he can.
Yeah.
He's lip syncing. He's wrapped in a rainbow blanket. He's living his best life.
I think we're learning something else about Terry.
I think we're learning a little bit something else about him. No wonder he's so messed up.
Terry is lip syncing along with the song, and it's to like the Spell part where, you know, all your good metal bands do, where
you got your breakdown.
Yeah, your breakdown. They're talking about the old gods and raise up and all this stuff. And as he's doing it, he kind of starts going, well, now, wait a minute.
Sounds like some stuff that's been going on recently.
Yeah, so he grabs the record, he pops it open to the gatefold, and inside is the Dark Book, which has all this spell stuff and demonic imagery and whatnot. And he's starting to put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's Columbo.
Yes, he
is. Give that boy a cigar.
Because there's been barely any clues of anything going on.
He's drawing. Well, that's another aspect of this movie I like when we throw in the kid side of it, is kids will attach logic to anything.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how coincidental or oddball it may be, they're like, oh my God, this is fitting a narrative that clearly doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But because the Dark Book mentions the gate, the old gods, a hole, and a geode, he's just like, bing bang, this is it.
Duh, this is what's going on. That's why Glenn kept floating last night.
That's right.
That's why all those little weird words were on the magic slate.
Yeah, he's just like, holy shit, it's all right there in front of us. Now, while he's doing all this business, back over at Glenn's house, Glenn is very distraught still about Angus's passing and is trying to convince Al to call the parents. She's like, no, we're not going to call mom and dad.
Yeah, she's very dismissive of Glenn and his feelings in this moment.
Yeah.
Because her friends are here.
Yeah, yeah.
She's trying to be cool.
Yeah, her shithead friends show up, and as we mentioned before, just assume it's a shitty situation.
So Glenn goes up to his room and has his little kid meltdown where he takes the present that he got for Al and he wraps it, and it was another rocket that they were probably going to play with together.
Mm-hmm.
And he tosses it and he's like, happy freaking birthday.
Yeah. Screw you.
And then that damn bug zapper is going off again.
Damn it.
Glenn takes the initiative to unplug it.
He also notices that the hole that he had to cover up is now back again.
Oh, no. I think that's literally the line,
that
isn't
is
it?
That is literally the line. Terry comes over to explain to Glenn all of his findings. He's just like, listen, man, we've done the ritual. We've been doing this. He's just like, there's the hole. We had the magic words. We did the spell with the levitation. You even spilled blood. And all we're missing now is the sacrifice. Thank God we didn't do a sacrifice.
Well, he was like, thank God we didn't bury Angus's body back here, more specifically.
Yes.
Cut to the plot device that I was talking about earlier. Uh-huh. The boy that I think Al has feelings for that we don't really hear or see anything from, for some reason has Angus's body.
Yeah.
Trying to find a place to put it. Mm-hmm. He gives up because none of it's working, and he brings that damn body back, and he's like, oh, there's already a hole here.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Brushes the dirt off his hands and bids it a good day. Terry had figured out that there is actually an incantation that you can do to seal the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so they cover the hole up with the remains of the treehouse, which, ironically enough, if we didn't think that a hole in the ground could be a gate, now we have a physical gate on top of the metaphysical gate.
Yes.
And so Terry starts doing the incantation, and they wait. I think they were waiting for a bell or a ding or something.
Yeah.
But Glenn's just like, you might want to do that again.
Yeah, I do. I love the way that Terry delivers the incantation too, because he's trying to sound like all powerful and like the stereotypical like wizard voice that you do.
But he's a dweeb.
He's a little dweeb. So he just sounds silly.
Yeah.
But he also gets interrupted by Al.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they aren't entirely sure if it worked, but he said the whole thing.
Yeah, he said most.
He said most of it.
Close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah. Ash Williams
rules. That had to have worked. Yeah. Because that's what they're like afterwards. Yeah. They're like, I think it worked. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess.
There's no more smoke, so it must be good. Al tries to make up with Glenn for how kind of shitty this weekend's been going by gifting him a new rocket. You know? She's like, well, that's very nice of her.
Yeah, and she's even going to play with it with him. So we get a nice little kind of vignette, I guess, of them getting to play with the rocket while Terry keeps studying the lyric book to see if there's anything else they need to do. But This nice little scene doesn't last long because frickin' those sisters are coming back to spend the frickin' night.
Yep. We're having a slumber party. Some more awful words are exchanged.
And one of them has got the dumbest 80s hair.
Yeah. It's very, there's something about Mary.
Yeah.
With them bangs.
Ugh.
Yeah. While Al and her friends are doing their slumber party stuff, Terry and Glenn are hanging out again, and they're digging around through a closet, and Terry's playing with Glenn's dad's rifle.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say they're doing boy stuff.
They're doing boy
stuff. They're doing boy slumber party stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, looking down the barrel of a gun.
Yeah.
But Glenn, being the responsible individual he is just like, hey, man, don't play with guns. Mm-hmm. That's not cool. Good for him.
Good job, Glenn.
Later on, it's nighttime, so the spooky's got to start, right? Eventually, like, some scary shit has to happen in this movie.
Yeah, Glenn's finally reading the lyric book now, and folks, tell us.
Yeah, what's your interpretation of this?
Which way is this line go? The line is, Indians, oh boy.
Now, do you think
is that him going, cowboy and Indian? Indians, ugh.
Or is it him actually picking up on the fact that it's such a cliche for scary things to be like, oh, this is on an old Native American burial ground. Like, do you think that it's that? Let us know. I think that maybe it is in the camp of him going, we're throwing everything in here in the kitchen sink to this lore. Because it's clearly borrowing from every cliched idea.
Yeah, it is. But as an indigenous person, I've always heard that line and was like, well, what's wrong with us?
Yeah, right. Al also wakes up from hearing sounds outside. That damn zapper's back on.
But I thought that he unplugged it earlier.
Oh. This is where I think pretty much the hell starts breaking loose. And from this point on, just a shit ton of stuff happens. And yeah. It is batshit crazy. Starting with it, like, as if the Texas rattlesnake himself is coming out because the window shatters from all the moss. We've got broken glass everywhere. Al runs in to check on Glenn. Things are going crazy. They're just like, well, wait a minute. Why isn't Terry awake? So they're checking on him in the little side bed next to Glenn's bed. And while they're like kind of trying to shake him awake, Terry comes up from behind and is just like, what are you guys doing? Well, now, wait a minute. If he's standing right there, then who's in the bed? They pull back the sheets to reveal that Angus's dead body is in there. So we get a lot of dead dog shots in this movie.
I will say, the dead dog before wasn't the greatest special effect.
Yeah.
But especially here, because they have his tongue like sticking out and he's all like scraggly looking.
Yeah.
And maybe that company should have stayed away from dog puppets.
Right. Yeah.
Good with everything else.
Yeah, the Jim Henson Company was busy.
Yeah.
While this is happening and they're freaking out from the dead dog, Al gets grappled by some demon arms coming out from underneath Glenn's bed.
Now, I know this scene traumatized a ton of kids.
Oh, yeah. Because if you ever had a fear of something grabbing you from underneath the bed, this is the last thing you need to be seeing.
Yeah, and Al nearly
gets
got.
Yeah. It's very close. They fortunately break free of the hands. They run out. Those damn sisters show up. They're like, what's going on? They're like, nothing. Don't worry about it. We just got to get the fuck out of this house. Glenn runs out the front door to be greeted by his parents. Hey, they came home early.
Yeah.
But something's weird.
They're acting a little weird. It's kind of foggy out. Mm-hmm. Like, they came back really early in the middle of the night even. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Another favorite line from this movie is during this part, and we do hear it another time, but the demons are always telling him, you've been bad.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's delivered so good.
This is easily one of my favorite parts because as Glenn is trying to get away from the demon version of his dad, he starts to smush his face and tear his face off.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
It's so gross. Yes. It looks so cool.
Yeah, it's very goopy.
Yes, goopy is a good word for it.
I would almost say it's like up there as far as like favorite face removal scenes. I'd say it's like this and like the dad in Poltergeist, like removing his face in the mirror.
Yeah,
like it's that.
Yeah.
Glenn runs back inside. They get a phone call from Demon Dad. Hey, look at that. It's you've been bad again. Also, we get introduced to the Demon Scamps.
Demon Scamps. Oh. They're so ugly, but so cute.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love them.
Scamps is the perfect word for them. They are little scamps.
They're little scamps. And what I love about this movie is pretty much every time that you see the demon scamps, they had filmed it where they had made basically a scaled up set of like the bedroom and the living room, I think the kitchen and such. And so it's all practical effects. Like they do a little bit of like, you know, the movie magic with like masking and such, where it's, you know,
little cutouts of the demons on top.
But whenever you're seeing just demon in scene, it's just really cool to see gigantic versions of everything around them. Like I would love to have been able to be on that set because I just love that kind of shit. The demon effects, so fun, so great. It's a delight every time they're on screen. Back to the situation at hand, though. This is a mess.
It is a mess. Al's surprised that they were right about the demons. The sisters are just freaking out.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Terry and Glenn are just like, oh my gosh, we gotta get back to the lyric book.
Yes, yeah.
It's in the basement, though. How the hell are we gonna get down there with all these demons running around?
They run down into the basement to get the dark book. However, it catches on fire. Mm-hmm. Well, shit. So they get the next best thing, which is a holy bibble. And they're like, okay, well, we need to get to the hole to read something out of the Bible.
Well, Terry doesn't think it's going to work because he's like, these things are older than the Bible.
Yes.
You honestly think those words are going to work?
Gotta try something.
Gotta try something.
I mean, I don't know. Grab some Cap'n Crunch. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah. I will say, is this the part you were talking about with the... No, this is not the part you were talking about for the sisters being a red herring. But I will say that at least they kind of step up and go, we'll find a passage. We know the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Good. You go to Sunday school.
Wonderful.
Cool.
No wonder. So now it's just basically them managing to get out to the hole to read the passage, which is no easy task because, you know, all the shit that's happening with the little scamps.
Yeah, they do eventually make it out to the backyard with the sisters following in tow because they had found a passage that they thought might work.
Yeah.
And as they're going out, Terry mentions, oh yeah, well, there's still the two sacrifices that need to be made. And the sisters look at each other and go, we'll wait inside.
Yeah, which they're a part of the herring.
The herring, yeah.
Yeah.
I realized it when I was talking a second ago that that's what you meant.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because when the audience heard that the first time, they're probably like, yes, these sisters are fixing to get it. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Terry reads the passage. The hole starts reacting. It starts sucking smoke into the hole. It's just like, holy shit, this might just work.
Yeah. Everything is getting sucked back into the hole, including Terry.
Oh, man. He's going to get sent back to the Middle Ages. I saw this at the end of Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. So this is where it probably would get really, really scary for kids.
Yeah.
Because Terry's down in the hole with all the hell demons.
Yeah.
And they come up and they start biting and attacking him.
Yeah.
You as the audience are like, oh, crap. I guess if the sisters aren't going to get it, Terry's fixing to get it.
Luckily, Terry, luckily this hole is not nearly as deep as one might assume.
Well, depending on which scene you're watching, depends on how deep the hole is.
Yeah, because when Terry initially starts to try to climb out of said hole, it seems to be maybe a foot above his head is where the rim of it is.
Yeah. But then when he starts climbing, it's like 50 feet up.
Yeah, yeah. I would say it's almost like the cave hole in The Great Outdoors at the end when it's storming and they're pulling the twin sisters out of that hole. Luckily, they do get him out of there. Unluckily, he loses one of his shoes. Well, you can't win them all.
Yay!
They try to continue to read passages from the Bible, and they're just like, fuck it. They chuck the Bible into the hole, and hell, that works. Mm-hmm. The fucking thing blows up, and everything's cool. They go back inside the house. They find the sisters hiding in the pantry. Glenn notices that the front door is open. Oh, man. Did the demon parents get inside the house? Nah, it's just those other friends.
Yeah.
The boys.
The boy that she thinks she's got a crush on. And then the other guy.
Yeah. Who cares about him?
I don't even know why they had that guy there.
We don't need any of these people.
No. We just needed the core three kids.
And thankfully, the movie understands that because it's ta-ta for now, folks. Bye-bye.
Y'all are lame talking about demons and stuff.
Yeah, the sisters just witnessed all this crazy shit, and they immediately are like, that didn't really happen.
So all things seem to be going well. You know, everybody's getting ready for the night. Phew, can't believe we went through that ordeal. That's crazy that actually happened. Terry even says, man, I ain't even going to sleep for a week. There's no way I can sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And Al's like, well, while you guys try to sleep, I'm going to clean up the house.
Yeah.
Make sure it's ready for mom and dad tomorrow. The boys stay up for a little while longer and they're playing around. And as they do, the wall splits open and our dead friend is in the wall after all.
Yeah, which Terry's just like, I made that up. I think he might regret making up that story because he is then snatched into the wall.
Yes. Another scene of, oh my God, Terry's actually going to get it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Glenn's just like, holy shit. Now, Glenn puts two and two together very quick and realizes that, well, obviously the spell didn't, you know, the Bible didn't work.
Yeah.
But also, he's just like, holy shit, the ultimate demon summoning spell is about to be completed because there still needed to be the two sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry is sacrifice number one.
Mm-hmm.
He has to get to Al. He gets to Al. Unfortunately, Mr. Construction Worker Ghost comes out of the wall to get her. She fights him off pretty good.
This is another cool scene, though, when she sees the ghost or dead guy.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of entity it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because he appears in her mirror,
yeah,
in front of her, and it just looks so cool. It's that, you know, it's that classic 80s, like, yeah, thing appears in the mirror,
yeah,
effect.
Some manner of, like, Pepper ghost adjacent.
Yeah. And I always love seeing it in movies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so cool. She takes care of him pretty quickly, and as he falls, he splits off into a million little scamps.
Oh, scamping again. And this is, again, where we get to see really cool set work for the scamp scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it so much, guys. I can't tell you how much I love that.
Watch this movie just for the scamps.
Just for the scamps. Glenn is running to go get the gun that we had seen earlier. Good job, movie, for keeping track of all these little details.
Yeah.
But while he is going into the closet to get the gun, he is attacked by zombie Terry, who just latches onto his hand with his little scamp teeth, because he's got like little like rat teeth now.
See, I thought that he had turned into a demon.
Yeah, he's basically a demon.
He's a demon.
He is a demon. Demon Terry.
Demon Terry.
Demon Terry.
Probably what he wanted this whole time.
I think that when I played Oregon Trail, I died from Demon Terry.
Oh, God.
Al comes to the rescue and stabs a Barbie into the mm-hmm. eye of Demon mm-hmm. Terry.
Very effective weapon,
yeah,
with Barbie legs.
They run off together into a different closet, right? Was it different closet?
No,
it was
the
same one?
It's the same closet,
so they hide,
yeah.
Now this might be one of the very few bad choices,
yeah,
these kids make.
Yeah, because we saw Terry already pop out of the ether in the closet.
Yeah. This is probably not where I want to hide.
I mean, but there are the little scamps outside the door.
Damn, you're rock in a hard place. So they're in there hiding from the scamps with reckless abandon on this. And unfortunately, Mr. Ghost Demon Construction Worker Man, he pops out of the ether and starts attacking Al. Sacrifice number two, folks.
Damn. Yeah, because Glenn, or was it Al? One of the two tried to blast the zombie construction man, but that did not work.
Nope. Since this has happened, we got to amp the danger a little bit. The Doom Tracker has now moved, if you were playing this as a board game. And a hole opens up in the floor of the main floor of the house. What is that? Some sort of like, this house, by the way, it's kind of a weird house.
It is. I almost wonder if it was made in two different locations.
Yeah, because the layout doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, the layout's kind of weird. You forgot to inform the audience, though, that Glenn had grabbed a big rocket out of the closet that had been confiscated from
That's
him.
That's right, yes. The little study boy he is, he remembered the sacrifice stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he also remembered the important part of undoing the magic,
mm-hmm.
which is that ultimately the power to stop everything is the spark of love. So he's just like, well, I love this rocket.
I love this rocket because I bet Al helped him.
Yeah.
I think Al helped him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because they used to be rocket buddies.
Yeah, so his love for his family.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's just he needs to manage to get upstairs while this giant ass hole has opened up. And unfortunately, out of said hole comes giant ass demon.
Well, you see all the little scamps forming into the giant demon,
yes,
and they're just standing there going, we're fixing it, really scamp it up.
See, now this could have been Gremlins 3.
This could have been Gremlins 3, a giant freaking gremlin taking down Manhattan.
Damn, that would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
And then they get a hold of the Ghostbusters. And then they end up putting a Nintendo controller in the Statue of Liberty again.
Yeah, and then somebody says, huh, what's going on with this beetle and this juice over here? Oh, no, oh, there's God. Another beetle and another juice.
Oh, no. Well, that's so strange because I found a beetle and a juice over here, too.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Holy
what?
Crap. The ultimate crossover. Glenn just kind of has a real hard time. Nothing goes to plan with mm-hmm. this whole rocket thing. He seemingly has not only lost his best friend and his sister and also that rocket, but as well as now he's witnessing the end of the world. Because
you had completely skipped over the fact that he, for some reason, also has a eye in his hand.
You know,
I don't know. That's kind of out there.
That's just some nonsense that has nothing to do with this plot.
I mean, to be honest, it really doesn't. It's just a fact of what the hell.
That is, like, it's so crazy I forgot about it. Because, yeah, like, he does have an eye. This is a tough day for this kid. Because, all right, so he lost his best friend. He lost his sister. He lost his dog. He lost his rocket. He's got an eyeball in the middle of his hand. And he's witnessing the end of the world. Because one of those, like, DC/Marvel-style doom pillars is billowing out into the atmosphere.
Yes.
Jeez, I'm Crow, can it get any worse?
No,
this is it. Like, he's
Glenn's crying.
Yeah, he's crying, as Glenn wanted to do. But something else is crying. A little baby doll.
Wee, wee, mama, mama.
And he gets that inspiration once more that he's like, no, I won't be defeated. He stabs the eyeball in his hand. I don't know if he really needed to do that, but somehow this gets the attention of the doom smoke. It sucks back into the house, turns back into the giant demon. He's just like, I'm going to defeat this demon with the rocket, the spark of love. And he ends up getting a hold of the package that he had earlier thrown behind his bed that was meant to be a gift for his sister, which happened to have some fresh charges for the rocket.
Hooray!
Yes!
All the plot devices were set up perfectly.
Good job, movie. He, after some struggling and some tense moments, mm-hmm. fires the rocket into the chest of the demon, which initially I was like, well, he just absorbed it. Nothing mm-hmm. happened.
Yeah, because the demon's almost like laughing.
Yeah, like what was I supposed to do?
You thought that was going to work.
Yeah.
That's what the demon sounds like exactly.
The demon picks Glenn up and starts shaking him around. Now, they went with claymation for this part.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's still cool.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look too bad, yeah.
As he gets thrown around and he's like tossed aside, the demon finally starts to implode.
Yeah.
I don't know what the holdup was.
I get it's sometimes things take a while to work, and this is no exception to that.
Well, with the demon getting exploded, of course, the freaking house is also kind of destroyed.
Yeah.
It looks awful.
Yes.
It looks like there was an absolute rager in this house, not just a party.
Yeah.
But hey, guess who comes out of the closet? Angus, the dog.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and then we see Al.
Oh.
She was in the closet. But the most important one that comes out of the closet, finally.
Yes.
Thank God. Maybe he'll get a little normal. It's Terry.
Yeah. All the signs were there.
No, I'm guessing the closet was a back door to the hell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how at least Al got sucked in.
Yeah.
I don't really understand Angus.
Yeah, I don't understand Angus coming back.
Yeah, like, I'll accept.
I feel like that should be a one and done. Like, he was an old dog.
Yeah.
Like,
he probably died later anyway. Got into the chocolate or something.
Yeah.
So everything's great. Cool. Like, they're just, you know, palling around. Mm-hmm. And
The last line of the movie, I think, I don't think there's anything after it, is, you're my best pals. How cute.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And Terry Shoe is back.
Yeah, yeah. Angus digs up his shoe.
Everything made it out of the gate.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's amazing how this movie literally cinches up all the loose ends.
It really does.
Like, there's no, like, anything to it.
And as I said, each plot device that is presented to the audience has a purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything that happens has a purpose in this movie.
Yeah, there's no detail in there, I would say, that doesn't serve something at some point
besides
in time.
Besides the weird two boy friends.
Yeah, the boys are really, they don't really have much to do with that.
Sisters, we can take them or leave them, to be honest. But otherwise, my verdict is this is a great movie.
Yeah.
I still love it. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really seen it since I was a kid. So yeah. I was kind of going into this going, okay, how am I going to feel about this as an adult? I love it.
Yeah, I had watched it a little bit more recent than that. Now, recent being as of recording this episode, it would have been about 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
For the proto A to Z.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
For my own little project. But which even then I liked it. And mm-hmm. now I'm just like, yeah, man, I dig this film.
Mm-hmm. I still think it's more of a children's horror, even though it does have some pretty traumatic scenes. Like, as I said, the bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that, yeah, you know, it's definitely maybe not baby's first horror film.
No.
But baby's second.
Yeah.
You know, because like we've mentioned for some of the other films like Hell Night, Fright Night. This one doesn't have night in the title, so that's different. But this one is another one of those movies where, you know, like I said, for Fright Night, if you can handle Gremlins or Gremlins 2,
mm-hmm.
you could definitely handle this movie.
Yeah, this one doesn't really even have any gore in it.
No,
besides him getting hurt from the splinter
and then stabbing
the
eye.
Oh, no, yeah.
I think the dog part, the dead dog, would be kind of traumatic. Because mm-hmm. even as an adult, I'm like, geez, we have to keep looking at this dead dog.
Yeah.
No matter how goofy as it may look, it's still kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So animal lovers may have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
But it is relatively harmless, with the exception of there's some outdated language.
Oh, yeah.
In this movie.
From the sisters.
That's what makes them so awful.
I think that they're the only ones that say the outdated language.
Yeah, yeah. There's some slurs in there that aren't acceptable today. And
that's probably why I hate the sisters so much. Because I'm just like, oh, they're bigots. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, they use that terminology towards Terry.
Yeah.
Our king.
King. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so. But anyway, definitely I recommend checking it out. It makes its rounds through all the streaming mm-hmm. services. And honestly, if you come across it for cheap on DVD or Blu-ray, pick it up.
Yeah.
There is no reason not to go ahead and add it to your collection. It's a fun film. And I think overall spooky classic.
For sure.
That brings us to the end this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode will be our H episode. H for Hereditary.
Hereditary. I won't sing it.
Okay. I have not seen this. You have.
Uh-huh. And I have a story about that.
Oh, boy. So we'll see next episode on how I feel about it. And how you still may feel about it, we'll see.
We'll see.
Until next time, if you find yourself hanging out with your kind of metalhead nerd friend, and he comes over with a rock and roll record book, spouting nonsense about demons, spells, and all that other crap, maybe he's just going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Be there to support him, even in his darkest hour, while he's being chased around by little scamps and otherwise. Just keep it together. Be responsible. Call mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky. Hee 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 hee.